Hey everybody, welcome back. HBO Boys talking about WandaVision again, this time episode 3, Now in Color is the title. I'm James and this is Chad.
I'm Chad, hello.
So, something we talked about last week, the episodes are very short. This episode was only 20 minutes long, and last week we got two, so it was kind of like 40 minutes, but this week, just the one, just 20 minutes. I watched it all, like, while I was on an evening stroll, because it was that short, and I was really left wanting more, and I've heard rumors that the other episodes will be longer, but it is a little funny that, like, you know, you see when you start the episode, oh, it's 30 minutes long. Oh, no, one third of that is the credits.
See, so I agree. I was left wanting at the end of the episode. I was surprised when it was over. Like, I checked my phone to confirm that it was actually over, which it was. And I thought about it. And I think that what they're doing is in the 50s genre, there were fewer commercials, so a 30-minute runtime was relatively reasonable. And now when they jump forward to the 70s and everything's in color, they pumped more commercials into the shows back then, so the runtime of the actual show was only 21, 22 minutes, which is what we have now, too. So I think that might have been kind of like a bit of a commentary on how episodes were shorter than we may remember them.
Yeah, it's very meta. And something I learned in between these podcasts is that the show, at least these first three episodes, are actually filmed in front of a live studio audience the way that sitcoms used to be. And now I'm looking forward to when they get to the 90s and they replace the audience with a laugh track.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you said that the newer episodes are going to have a longer runtime. Again, I wonder if they're going to match the runtime of shows as they got longer later on. It really is kind of a love letter to TV in a weird way.
Right, but they're already in, what, the late 60s, 70s, right? So there's only a few decades of TV left. Like, we're going to do the 80s and then the 90s. And then I don't think TV has really changed that much between the aughts and the 10s. But I guess we'll see if they do anything with that.
Well, no, I mean, we got Breaking Bad, which changed TV. It created an entirely different narrative for the show, you know.
Yeah, I'll be excited to see when they do the Prestige TV parody on their Prestige TV show, and you know, Wanda and Vision are covering up murders.
Fair point.
So yeah, not too much really to say about most of this episode. So we could address the plot very quickly. It picks up where the last episode left off. We're in color now. Wanda's pregnant, but it's happening super quickly. They have a doctor over. The doctor's like, yeah, you appear to be 6 months pregnant. Vision calculates that, like, oh, at this rate, you're going to have the baby next Friday, right? That's a funny little meta joke. Oh, the baby will come next episode.
Right.
They talk about the names. Wanda likes Tommy, and Vision likes Billy, which are the names of the babies from the comics, right?
Yeah. Like with everything with the Scarlet Witch, it's more complicated than that, but yeah.
And they want to hide the pregnancy from the neighbors, and so they're doing very cliched sitcom shit. It's like, oh, well, if I just hold a small object in front of me, they won't know I'm pregnant.
Right.
And Geraldine comes over to gripe about her job, and then she's trying to hide that she's pregnant, but her powers are going haywire, and the whole block is losing power, and she accidentally summons a stork to the house, and eventually she goes into labor, which sends Vision off to find the doctor, and they have the babies, and it's actually twins, so we get Billy and Tommy, and that's the plot of the sitcom episode, basically.
Right. There was two big sparks that you carry over into the next episode, but the rest was really just a classic sitcom episode about a character having a baby.
Right. This is something that could happen on Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie, which,
yeah,
very similar to these shows because it's about a domestic home life where you're hiding. There's fantastical shit going on.
Right.
Yeah. One of the first things that happens is that's weird. Vision goes outside, and now, like, their house is a bit different, and and the neighborhood's a bit different because it's the 60s, the late 60s, early 70s. And Herb is there and he's cutting the hedges. This is after Vision says goodbye to the doctor. And he starts with his trimmer trimming into the brick fence, like cutting
through it.
Yeah, and not changing his demeanor or anything. And Vision's like, I think you went a little overboard there. He's like, yeah, maybe, but he keeps going.
Strong hedge clippers.
So then Vision goes back inside and he starts to tell Wanda, he's like, there's a lot of weird things happening here. Like the dinner that we had, what's going on with Herb, things don't seem right. And then Wanda kind of makes a face and then he just like, time is rewound back to before he was saying that and he just starts saying something else instead.
Right, and they did it different this time. Last time she rewound time, like we saw it kind of go back, but this time it just cut to before he walked over. And I actually like kind of got confused for a second. I thought that like something like, I don't know, the record was skipping. I don't know what I thought was happening other than that was meant an intentional moment. But I rewound it and watched it again because I don't know, just it confused me for a second.
So more so than in the other two episodes, in this episode, it's starting to seem that like Wanda is now more consciously becoming the director of this show, this reality. And anytime something happens that she doesn't like, she won't just kind of change the subject. She cancels it entirely.
Right. Yeah, she very much is in charge now, which is different because in the last two episodes, it was left ambiguous. And it's still, I mean, we'll get to it in a minute.
Well, it begs the question of like, how much control does she have or how aware is she of her control? It almost seems like she has like a split personality of like the ideal happy wife, Wanda, who is in control most of the time. But then when necessary, like the real Wanda comes out to set things right so they can get right back to the fake reality, I guess. Like,
yeah, that's kind of there's two ways it can be interpreted. It could be that way where she's blissfully going through the story until something kind of triggers her into, you know, defense mode where she fixes things, or I can't shake the feeling that she's trapped there. But now maybe she realizes that she has the ability to change things about her reality, but she doesn't necessarily, because she is ignorant to a lot of things. If it really is her world, then the characters in the show that are questioning her or that she doesn't recognize as being part of the world she created should be putting up red flags for her, but they're not.
Well, there's a very dark and maybe like a little bit pathetic third option, which is that she is lying to herself. And basically everything she's doing is an act. And when we see her get angry, it's because she's forced to break character and put a hold on deluding herself for a little bit, which would be like the most crazy option in terms of like her own mental health. Like if that's what she's doing, then she's completely lost it.
Yeah, but in the first episode at the dinner scene, when Mr. Hart was choking, she looked confused, right. And then she looked concerned, and then when she told Vision to fix it, she was like, Vision, like, do something, you know, like she was almost pleading to him to do something, which sure, you could debate whether or not that gave him the agency to do it, but in that episode she was confused. In the next episode, she did her first act, I think, willfully. And now in this episode, she like, kind of seems like she's taken on that mantle and she's realizing that she can change the world around her. Whether or not she knows that she's in a fake world, I think it remains to be seen.
The other interesting thing from this exchange that people were discussing online is like, was Herb actually doing something there? Did the Scarlet Witch construct some kind of invisible fortress around the house that Herb is attempting to cut into? Because the other neighbors do not stop by until after he then, like, cuts that small hole.
Oh. And actually, interesting you say that, because I think this was intentional, too, with a budget like Marvel. The background of the neighbor's house behind Herb was very clearly just like a cardboard stand up.
Yeah, it was like an old fashioned pastiche. Like,
yeah,
which was kind of cool to see, actually.
Which kind of reinforces that, like, you're in this bubble, and he needed to break in.
The next thing that happens is, well, a few things happening at the same time, but, like, so the doctor comes and helps deliver the babies. The babies have very slight markings on their face, which resemble Vision.
Oh, yeah. On their forehead.
Which I think the babies from the WandaVision comic just looked like people, right? But then in the Vision comic, like the one that's just him with his robot family, like they all are robots. So it seems like they're maybe trying to do both.
Yeah, they're splitting the difference.
And as I understand it, like in the original one, Wanda's two babies grow up to be heroes in their own rights at some point. And one of them is like a speedster. And one of them is, like, Wanda. So that's what other people were saying, is that when Wanda's powers are going haywire, is it her or is it the baby?
Right. A speedster, we should note, is her brother's powers.
Right.
And, who comes up in this episode.
Who comes up in this episode and who has not been mentioned for years.
Right. Right. Since Age of Ultron. Since the first movie that the Scarlet Witch appeared in.
So at this point, Geraldine is there. She witnesses the whole pregnancy. She's like still doing her act. And Vision takes the doctor out. And he's like, well, have a nice time on your vacation. And the doctor's like, you know, actually, I think I'm going to skip the vacation. These small towns, they're so hard to get away from. And then Vision turns and sees that like Agnes is there now talking to Herb. Agnes is now like inside their property. Herb's just outside of it. After the doctor leaves, they start gossiping about Geraldine. And they're like, yeah, isn't it weird how nobody knows her and she doesn't even have a house? Like, where does she live? It doesn't seem like she belongs here.
Right.
So she is not... There are people who are here intentionally, apparently, that, like, the Scarlet Witch intends for a certain cast. And Agnes and Herb are part of it. And Geraldine is not.
Allegedly. I mean, I read that scene a little differently. I read that scene as Herb was kind of breaking out of his trance. And I mean, I'm still in the park where Agnes is Agatha Harkness, the Salem witch, who teaches the Scarlet Witch how to do all the stuff that she does. And I saw him breaking, and she was there to try to like, cover up her tracks and like repair the illusion that she may have created for Wanda, you know. And that's why when Herb at one point, he says yeah, but we're all, and then just kind of trails off, and you don't really know what he's going to say, but you imagine he's going to say something like, we're all trapped here, we're all trying to help, we're all, you know, like,
right.
there's a message there, but Agnes jumps in and interrupts him and is kind of being the shield between Herb and Vision, who is starting to realize that there's cracks in the facade, pun intended.
And he gets stuck. I think the question that Vision asks is like, why is Geraldine here? And he's like, oh, she's here because, you know, we're all, she's here because, you know, we're all, she's here because, right. You know, we're all. So he knows something about like why Geraldine might be here. And it's in reference to the people who are trapped there, I guess. But yeah, as you said, Agnes shuts him down. And so the question is like, what personal investment does she have in keeping the facade going?
I think that this is, I don't know why, but I think that this is all about her kids. I mean, the first two episodes, it was heavily implied that Wanda should be having kids. And then in the end of the second episode, she gets pregnant. The third episode, she has kids. And in the episode that she has kids, great lengths were taken to protect her house from anybody interrupting.
Right. So I wonder, like, is someone trying to get their hands on a baby with Wanda's powers, basically.
Right. Right. And to what end? Like, you know, the kids are definitely important. There's no way they're not.
So Wanda and Geraldine are alone in the house with the babies. And Wanda starts to get, like, a very emotional looking at the babies and saying, oh, they're twins, just like me. I was a twin. And her accent comes back. Her accent from the MCU, because she's been doing an American accent this whole show, she now sounds like Wanda from the movies.
Right.
And she starts singing in Sokovian. And then she says, like, you know, I was a twin too. I had a brother named Pietro, which just hearing that, like, apparent looks to seems to 100% snap Geraldine out of it.
Yeah. She brings up, she talks about how he died. She talks about Ultron, another character who hasn't been mentioned since. He's been mentioned a couple times.
I think he got name dropped in Endgame, I think.
Or he just called him a super bot. Yeah.
She said, oh, that's right. He was killed by Ultron, wasn't he? And then that really pisses Wanda off. She's like, what did you just say about my brother? And now Geraldine goes into actual acting because she seems to have, like, come back to herself. And she's like, shit, how do I pass as a zombie? No, I was just saying, you're such a strong lady. You're such a strong lady. And then Wanda says, I think you should go. No, first she spies Wanda's pendant, which is a sword. Right. And she's like, what's that? And Geraldine keeps trying to deflect. She's like, oh, you're such a strong lady. Why don't we go down and drink some milkshakes at the sock hop? And Wanda's like, no, you ought to go. And Geraldine fights to stay. She's like, nah, don't be like that. I'd like to stay. It's okay.
When do we get a cutaway? Because at one point, we just abruptly leave the conversation.
It's
at that moment.
She's like, no, it's fine. I'll be okay. Just let me stay. And then we cut to Vision coming in and Geraldine's gone.
Right.
And then we get the big stinger at the end of the episode, which is that, like, and we saw this in the trailer, Geraldine is ejected from, like, she falls out of the sky and she's covered in the red Scarlet Witch energy magic from the movies, which we have not seen in this show yet.
Not in that form. It was always smoke.
And then we see that she, wherever she fell out of, is surrounded. There's like a big military project going on surrounding some area, which they have lit up with spotlights. And we see the actual sign for Westview, which is apparently a real place that Wanda has taken over or been trapped in or whatever is happening. Geraldine was in there, and apparently she wanted to be in there. It was probably her mission to gather intelligence. She was probably doing a recon operation inside the reality bubble, and now she's been ejected out of it. But I mean, with some pretty good information, if she's able to remember it.
Right. Yeah, so a bunch of cars pull up to her. No words are spoken, but it's very clearly some kind of police operation. And I thought it was interesting that her clothes and everything didn't change. Like, I would have expected her to, like, revert back to her original appearance, you know, since, like, her appearance changed so much while she was in there. And I had a bit of a theory. It's not a consequential one, but I think that you mentioned the helicopter in the last episode. It flew overhead, and then that attempt at recon failed. And then at the end of the episode, they tried going underneath, and that one was successful. And then that's when she rewound time for the first time. So you can see, like, they're trying different methods of prodding into this town.
Ah, I see. Yeah, so they tried to fly in, that failed. They tried to maybe tunnel in or come in through the sewers.
Yeah. So I don't know if she necessarily had a mission.
Interesting. Well, this gives me a thought. So, like, the helicopter gets turned into a toy helicopter because a real helicopter would not be an appropriate thing to see in Westview. Perhaps the beekeeper guy was actually a man in a hazmat suit. But since a hazmat suit would not be an appropriate thing to see in the sitcom, it is changed to a beekeeper suit.
That is brilliant. That's it. That's my theory now. You got it. I got the translation for her song that she sings to her kids.
Uh-huh.
It's she sings, I waited for you and this day has come. My heart became a home full of light, full of light. So I don't know if we can glean anything from that, but
is it written in a real language? Because I seem to remember that, like, in Avengers 2, you know, it takes place in Sokovia, but actually, you know, if you listen to their backstory, they're like, oh, when we were kids in the 90s, the U.S. bombed our city with Stark bombs or whatever. So, like, they're an Eastern European country which was bombed by America in the 90s, So it's very clearly like Sokovia is Serbia. And,
right.
And I think they also said, like, if you slow down the scenes where they're fighting in Sokovia, like the street signs are in Serbian. So is she singing in Serbian, or is it a made up language, or what?
So I'm not sure. But the my source is, if you watch this in Portuguese with subtitles on, they give you the subtitles in Portuguese, and then they've been translated into English.
Interesting.
Yes, apparently that is not in the subtitles are not in the English version of the show. Interesting. So my heart became a home full of light, full of light. In this episode, inexplicably, at one point the house is completely engulfed with light. I wonder if there's some significance to that.
Yeah, and she's singing in Serbian, actually. Yeah,
oh, she is. Okay.
Yeah. So Sokovia is Serbia.
Or at least speaks the same language.
They didn't want to call it Serbia because maybe a little too politically incorrect, since Serbia was a real country that got bombed for real.
Right. So what are you thinking? Where do you think the show is going to go now? Because there's a lot of angles they can take.
Something you had said, which I really hope is the case, is that the next episode maybe takes place entirely outside of the bubble. And maybe we get some more information about what's happening surrounding this situation. Who is Geraldine, and like, what is her motivation? I think perhaps it is a little too early to get that. And I think maybe by wanting that, maybe I'm missing the point, right? Maybe it's not about that. But it would be cool. I do hope the episodes get longer, right? Especially if eventually we break the mold of the classic sitcom formula. If they are keeping to those time schedules as like a tropes thing, maybe that the other episodes can be longer, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember the trailer now. And I guess I could just watch it again. But I don't remember many scenes that take place outside of this period. There's one.
I don't think we've seen anything in the trailer that we haven't seen in the show so far.
No, there's one where we see Wanda dressed up in a Halloween costume that looks like her comic appearance.
Uh-huh. And yeah, and Vision's dressed as like the Golden Age Vision.
Right. But I think that's it.
Oh, no, there is one. I remember one exchange from the trailer where Agnes goes like, am I dead? And Vision's like, no, why do you ask? Because you're dead.
Right, and then she laughs at the witch.
That hasn't happened yet.
Which that in and of itself is confusing, because if you're to be in my camp, why would she be confused about what's happening if she's, you know, one of the directors of this show? Oh, this is a confusing show, James.
Pretty interesting. I just read a great comment on Reddit that was like, look at the timeline of things that happened in this episode. Geraldine bites into an apple, recalls some forbidden information, and then is ejected from the paradise of Westview.
I'm supposed to respond to this.
Well, it's like a Paradise Lost situation, right? It's Adam and Eve.
Oh, wow.
And so if we've got a woman eating an apple, gaining forbidden knowledge, and then being thrown out, like, are we going to get the devil, too? Because he's supposed to be there.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, after you mentioned that, I've looked back into it, and there's been a lot of devil imagery. Mm-hmm. Even so far as the cover of the book that Vision is reading in the intro about pregnancy is, like, blood red with, like, a shadowy figure on it. There's a lot of very strange choices made in a show about having a baby at this point that reference the devil. The gum is the clearest example of that. And there's another big one that I had found, but it escapes me right now.
And if Agatha Harkness is someone like from the Salem witch trial, in colonial America, they believed that witches got their powers from writing their name in the devil's book, right?
Right.
But I'm gonna go ahead, this is probably a little premature, I think all this devil shit, this is the Mandarin 2.0. They're fucking with us. It's not gonna be, the devil's not gonna show up. Or if he does, it'll be some gonzo red herring.
Right. It's going to be like Wanda is the devil. And the devil gum was supposed to be a warning that you're working with the devil or something.
Or, towards the end, Wanda's going to be like, oh, all these bad things I did, the devil made me do it. And then, it turns out that's just part of the big lie that she's constructed as well.
I don't know if Marvel will introduce the devil, but we do have Dormammu already in canon. You know, it was the villain of the first Doctor Strange movie. And he, for all intents and purposes, is the devil. He's this being of infinite evil and an omnipotent monster. And, you know, we know that he's none too happy at the end of Doctor Strange. I wouldn't be surprised if he popped back in. Because he was never defeated. He was just kind of... He made a deal with the devil and he went away.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we've already talked about like how the Doctor Strange shit maybe ties in with all the multiverse stuff. I just, if we're going like the Agatha Harkness, like now there's magic is real in the MCU or whatever, which I guess it kind of has been since Thor or whatever. But I hope we don't go full on the devil is real. He's doing stuff. Because like the way that works in the comics, as it's been explained to me, sounds dumb as shit. It's like, okay, so Wanda's powers come from the devil. Oh, the Hulk's powers come from the devil too. Okay, I thought that was a science experiment. Like,
yeah, the way that they did Thor is kind of the only way that I think I could accept something like that in the MCU, and that's where like they're basically just aliens. You know, they call themselves gods because they're ageless, but they're just super powerful aliens that live in, you know, a special place called Asgard.
Right. And their magic is just a form of technology which is so advanced that it's become so intuitive that it appears to be magical.
Well, I mean, I'm okay with there being magic. I think that Marvel regrets that line.
Right. I mean, because clearly, so I don't know what the Infinity Gauntlet's not magic. It's high tech. Is that what you're trying to say? Like,
right. There's some kind of worthy calculator inside of Mjolnir.
So I mentioned last episode that they were not leaking the episode names, and I actually at that point in time they had just named episode 1 and 2. Even like we didn't even get those names until just before episode 3. And we do not have a episode 4 title yet, but I assume we will maybe. If we are going to stay inside the sitcom reality, it has not been indicated yet that we have left the early 70s. And so maybe that will happen at the beginning of the next episode, or we'll spend a little bit more time in the 70s, perhaps. But I am looking forward to like the Stranger Things 80s episode. That is for sure going to happen.
That could be the Halloween episode.
Right. That would make sense.
Yeah, I think we're going to get another... episode that's thematically similar to this one, because the first two were very similar, even though you could argue that one was the 50s and one was the 60s. But they're so close. But the way that I think the show is going to go from now on is we're going to get 20 minutes of in the sitcom and then like a 5-minute teaser of what's going on outside, like a quick little, you know, Geraldine, Monica just woke up. What does she have to say? You know, oh man, I don't remember. It's so crazy. And then like she drops one new bomb on us, some information bomb on us, and then roll credits.
So can we discuss, production side spoilers, which have already been revealed?
I suppose.
As like people who are going to be in the show. So, something we know that two of the people working with S.W.O.R.D. and investigating whatever is happening here, one of them is Jimmy Woo, the FBI agent from Ant-Man, which, like, first of all, like, why the fuck is he here? Isn't he, like, a bumbling fool? Like,
Right. But, he's a part of S.W.O.R.D. now?
But then also Darcy from Thor 1 and 2.
Right.
Is working with S.W.O.R.D. Very strange.
Bizarre choices, but it's nice to bring back, you know, give some credit to some of the background characters, I guess.
So she was like the research assistant of or like PhD candidate working underneath Jane Foster and Eric Selvig. And so perhaps she has some like insight if there's something metaphysical going on here. Although again, like just like with Jimmy Woo, she never really seemed that competent. And I'm guessing that like if her and Jimmy Woo are here, they're kind of going to be Geraldine's like comedy relief sidekicks, basically.
Right. Yeah, no, they were both kind of the comic relief characters in a Marvel show, which is, you know, usually pretty funny anyway. So, yeah, weird choices. I think we're going to get some surprises, though.
And we should say Geraldine is over now. It's Monica Rambeau. Like, she's not Geraldine. Rambeau, she's been fired from that role.
The show has not confirmed any of that. We know that as outsiders. So if that's supposed to be a big reveal, then oops.
Right. I mean, well, we know at this point that whoever she is, she's working for S.W.O.R.D. She's
right, absolutely.
Not supposed to be there.
God, the beekeeper thing, that was brilliant.
Yeah, that was, I plotted that out on the fly, guys. That's just how powerful my mind is. All right, so yeah, guys, thanks for listening. We will be back next week to talk about whatever happens on episode 4 of WandaVision. You know, at the beginning of this one, I was like, we're not going to have enough to talk for more than 15 minutes. And we went longer than last time. So I don't know, maybe an episode length, not a big problem.
We got to compare everything to everything that's passed.
And then also next week, there'll probably be a patrons only bonus episode. So sign up for the Patreon to check that out. And then later this week, Ryan and I will be talking more about Barry. And yeah, that's all. Thanks, Chad. Thanks for coming on again. See you in a week.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun.
We should say something funny at the end of the episode.
But that's my joke.